Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. It's just two verses that I want to read at this time. For a few moments at the end of our service, I want to draw your attention very simply to what Jesus taught about heaven. And I want to preach a message in the gospel today, and I do pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. And especially if you're in the meeting and you're not saved by God's grace, I pray today that the Lord will take his word and speak to your heart especially. But with God's word open before us, let's bow just in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for all thy blessings to us. We thank thee for our families. And O God, we pray today that when we get home to heaven, that all our families will be there. We know, Lord, that there are many in our family circles who are still not saved, still not prepared for heaven. And, oh God, if you were to come back today, then many of them would not be in heaven with us. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would unite our families in Christ, that each and every one of our families would be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and prepared for the mansions above. We do ask thee, Lord, as we would come to consider this subject of what Jesus taught about heaven, Lord, that you would speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, especially those in our meeting today who are still strangers to grace and to God. Oh God, we recognize that eternity is hastening on for each and every one of us, how we need to be prepared for the great eternity. And Lord, we pray therefore as we come to take up thy word just now that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And O God, that you would help us only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. And dear God, that you would write your word upon every heart. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He said this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." There are many myths and legends and falsehoods taught about heaven. Indeed, down throughout the history of this world, in every generation, man has formed his own ideas about what heaven is like, where heaven is, and how men get to heaven. With the result that across the world today, every religion has its own theories when it comes to this subject of heaven. But what is the truth about heaven? Today, I just don't want to give you another theory about heaven, but rather I want you to see what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, taught about heaven when he walked upon this earth. The Son of God made many wonderful statements about this subject of heaven. And the Savior leaves us in no doubt what heaven is like and who is going to heaven. I wonder, as we're gathered in God's house today at the beginning of 2016, are you sure that you're going to heaven? If I was to go down and ask you individually, are you ready for heaven? Are you prepared for heaven? If you were to die right now, would you be in heaven? I wonder what you would say. Because we're going to find out this afternoon that the Son of God taught very clearly that men need to prepare in order to get into heaven. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ also taught when he was upon this earth, and we're going to see this also, that we can know before we die that we're going to heaven. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized that men must know before they die that they are going to heaven. I wonder, Do you know today that you're going to heaven? Well, before we find out how we can have this assurance, how we can know that we're going to heaven, I want you to notice a number of things about heaven. What the Lord Jesus Christ taught about this place called heaven. And I pray that God will take his word, a very simple message today in the gospel. I pray that God will take his word and write it upon your heart and upon your soul. Now, first of all, take a look at Matthew chapter 6, these verses that we have read together. And you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ taught that heaven was a real place. Now, many people today do not believe that heaven is a real place. But look what the Lord Jesus Christ said here in verse 19 and 20. And if you haven't got a Bible with you, there are Bibles in the pew in front of you. And you should open the Bible and read these words for yourself, because these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And here's what the Savior says about heaven. Look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I want you to underline that little phrase. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in his public ministry on earth, always spoke about the reality of heaven. Therefore, phrases that the Savior uttered when upon earth proves without a shadow of a doubt that heaven is a real, literal place. Now, I know that most of you today believe that heaven is a real, literal place. And you might think that the point that I'm making here is irrelevant. But it's not irrelevant. And I'll tell you why it's not irrelevant. Because the majority of people in this world today do not believe in heaven. They do not believe in a literal place called heaven. But here we have the Lord Jesus. And in this portion of Scripture, he clearly states that heaven is a real place. Now, you needn't turn to all these references, but in Matthew 6, verse 9, Christ said, "Our Father which is in heaven." So again, the Lord Jesus emphasizes this place called heaven. In John 3, verse 12, Jesus spoke about the things of heaven. In Mark 13, verse 32, the Lord refers to the powers of heaven. In John 14, verses 2 and 3, the Son of God said when speaking to his disciples about heaven, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." In all these references, the Son of God is teaching clearly the reality of this place called heaven. Now look again at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. In this portion of Scripture, Christ again speaks of heaven as a real place. We've already pointed that out. But he compares heaven with earth. And I'm sure that you noticed that when you read the text. The Savior speaks of earth as a real place, and he speaks of heaven as a real place. Look what the Savior says. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Now, is earth a real place? Who in this meeting today would deny that earth is real? We all believe that earth's real because we're living on earth. We don't deny the existence of earth. Sure we don't. We don't deny the existence of this world. Well, why should we deny the existence of heaven then? Why should anyone deny the existence of a literal place called heaven? Here the Lord Jesus Christ compares earth with heaven. But as he compares earth with heaven, he emphasizes the reality of both. And my friend, just as earth is a real place, so too is heaven. As far as the Son of God is concerned, heaven is real. Although we are not sure exactly of the location of heaven, we do know that you go up to heaven. Heaven is the place where Christ abides. And heaven is the place where the saints go when they die. Heaven is beyond the stars. Heaven is beyond the moon. Heaven is beyond the sun. Heaven is beyond the galaxies. Heaven is beyond this universe. When Christ went back to heaven after his resurrection, the Bible says that he ascended up to heaven. Let me read you Acts 1, verse 9 and 10. And when he had spoken these things, that's the Lord Jesus, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up. Heaven is a place, and it's real, and it's where Jesus dwells. You remember what was said about Stephen when he was being stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. Let me read you these words. You needn't turn to them. It says in verse 55 and 56, "And he," that's Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." So when we consider the Bible and consider the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this earth, the Lord Jesus spoke about heaven as a literal place. A literal place. I wonder, as we come to the end of the meeting today, are you going to heaven? Are you sure that you're prepared and that you're ready for heaven? Well, my friend, I pray this afternoon that if you're not prepared for heaven, if you're not ready for heaven, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven, that even this first Lord's Day of 2016, that you will make your peace with God and be prepared for heaven. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ taught something else about heaven. Turn over with me just for a moment to Luke's Gospel chapter 15. And take a look there at verse 7. I'm just going to read one phrase out of verse 7. The same phrase is also in verse 10 of Luke chapter 15. But you'll notice here, secondly, that Jesus taught that heaven was a joyous place, a happy place, a place where the saints of God rejoice. Look what the Savior says here. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven." Underline those words. Now again, the majority of us today, if not all of us, believe that heaven is a joyous place, a happy place. We have been all, most of us, I'm sure, have been taught that down through our lives. The truth is, the saints in heaven are those who are full of joy. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. One of the characteristics of heaven is that the saints of God who are in heaven rejoice, and they rejoice forevermore. That's an old truth. That's a glorious truth. But you know, men and women, especially child of God, it is a truth that you and I should never forget. This joy and rejoicing in the hearts of God's people in heaven, of course, begins on earth for the people of God. If you're saved and love the Lord, then you know what rejoicing is all about. Consider with me what Jesus said to his disciples on earth in Luke 10, verse 19. Look at the text. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice." Now, the Lord Jesus here is speaking to his disciples, and his disciples were those who were saved and born again of the Spirit of God. And he says to the disciples that they were to rejoice because their names are written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what the Lord Jesus was emphasizing to them there was that they ought to rejoice in the fact that they were saved and born again, and that they were on their way to heaven, and that their names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll tell you, there's no greater joy on this earth than to know sins forgiven, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no greater joy upon this earth than to know that you're going to heaven. And I'll tell you that there's rejoicing in heaven, but as far as the saints of God are concerned, before we get to heaven, we begin to rejoice on this earth. Child of God, are you a happy Christian? Are you one who's rejoicing in your so great salvation? Because praise God, the Lord has redeemed you not only for time, but for all of his eternity. The person who is saved is one who rejoices because his name is written in heaven, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he rejoices because he is on his way to heaven and home. Now, why would heaven be a joyous place? Well, let me give you a number of reasons, and I'm just going to list these very, very quickly. Heaven is a joyous place because in heaven we will never suffer physical pain again. Heaven is a joyous place because in heaven we will never suffer sorrow again. Heaven is a joyous place because in heaven we will never suffer death again. Let me just read you a lovely verse in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, and it will prove all those points that I stated there. We read, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You know, there are many of God's people, and they suffer greatly upon this earth. They suffer pain and they suffer sorrow and they suffer great affliction. But praise God, when the saints of God get home to heaven, all pain will be gone, all sorrow will be gone, and we will never know what corruption is again. That's why heaven is a joyous place. But of course, heaven is a joyous place most of all because the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in heaven. You see, in heaven we will enjoy the presence of the Lord for all of God's eternity. Look closely at what Jesus taught in Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20. He taught that heaven was an incorruptible place. I'm sure you picked that up as we read the text, because it's clearly taught there in the text. Verse 19, look at it again in Matthew 6. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt." This world is a world that is corrupting. This world is a world that is decaying. This world is a world someday that will be no more. But what a contrast the place called heaven is, verse 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Heaven is an incorruptible place. And what a joyous place it is for the saints of God who will dwell in that incorruptible place for all eternity. Oh, we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. My friend, I ask you again, at the beginning of this new year, this first Sabbath day, you're in God's house. Are you going to heaven? Are you sure you're going to heaven? If you died right now, would you be in heaven? Heaven is a real place. That's what Jesus taught. Heaven is a joyous place. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught when he walked upon this scene of time. Heaven is an incorruptible place. Heaven is a place where Jesus dwells. But I want you to notice something else here. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 7. It's a very familiar text. But I want you to see here how men get to heaven. You see, Jesus taught that heaven was for a selective people. In other words, only a select few will enter heaven. Not everyone will get into heaven. Now, heaven is not just for Free Presbyterians. And it's not just for Baptists. And it's not just for the Brethren. And it's not just for the Methodists. And I could go on. When I talk about heaven being a selective place for a selective people, I'm speaking about heaven is a place for those who are saved by the grace of God. You see, the Bible speaks about few getting into heaven. Look what it says here in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Then look at verse 14. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few." Now underline those words, men and women. "And few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. The Lord Jesus Christ here teaches that few will get into heaven. Few. Compared to the multitudes that are found in this world. Compared to the multitudes that have lived upon this earth. Few. There be that find it. Who are the few that will be permitted to enter into heaven? Well, consider what Christ said on this matter. Now, we're studying here what Jesus taught about heaven. That's the subject. Now, with that in mind, turn to John chapter 3. It's a familiar text of Scripture, but it's important that you see it, especially if you're not saved yourself, not born again of the Spirit of God. Jesus said only those who are born again will be permitted into heaven. Now, this is what the Savior said. John 3, verse 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him," that was Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Born again. Are you born again? What does it mean to be born again? It means to be born from above. It means to be born of God's Holy Spirit. It means to be saved by the grace of God. It means to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. It means to repent of your sin and by faith trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Indeed, turn to Matthew chapter 18, the portion that we read in the dedication there, and you will notice that Jesus said only those who humble themselves before him in true repentance and faith would be permitted into heaven. In other words, only those who are converted will be permitted into heaven. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 8 and verse 1, down to verse 4. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children." In other words, humble yourself like a little child and accept God's salvation in Christ. "Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." See, the problem today is this, that men will not humble themselves before God. They will not confess and admit that they are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But man will not confess that. He will not admit that. Man's too proud to get down in the dust before God and cry unto God for mercy and salvation and forgiveness. And I've spoken to many men about their soul's salvation. Many about eternal redemption. And they will not humble themselves before God and they will not fall on the dust in his presence and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But my friend, if you want to get into heaven, you must be born again. If you want to get into heaven, you must be converted. You must humble yourself before God and take the place of the sinner and acknowledge that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior, and you must cast yourself upon him and ask him to save you and to forgive you for your sins. Indeed, it's not what Jesus said in John chapter 14. Jesus said, only those who accept him as Savior and Lord will be permitted into heaven. John 14 verse 6, underline the words, look at it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, no one can get into heaven apart from coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Therefore, let me ask you these questions, and only you can answer them. Are you born again? Have you humbled yourself before God in repentance and faith, and are you converted? Have you accepted Christ alone as your Savior? If you have, then the Lord Jesus promises to give you a home in heaven. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10 verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. And that's the wonderful promise of the Lord Jesus to his sheep, to his disciples, to his people, to his redeemed. And of course, the reason why the Savior can promise you and I eternal life in heaven is because he has died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary, and he has risen again for our justification. You see, the cross, the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of Calvary seals our destiny for heaven. Oh, I wonder today, are you going to heaven? Are you sure you're going to heaven? My friend, I would plead with you this Lord's Day, if you're not sure, if there is a doubt in your mind, even one doubt, that you make sure today that you get that doubt banished. Because not only does the Lord Jesus Christ emphasize in his ministry that men need to prepare for heaven, but he emphasizes that men can know 100%, they can know, they can be sure that they're going to heaven. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. Now, there's many things I'm not sure of. Now, there's many things I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. I'm going to heaven. Not because I deserve to go to heaven, mind you, because I don't deserve to go to heaven. There's none of us deserve heaven. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died in order to save me and forgive me for my sins, to bring me to heaven. And Jesus says that if I call upon him and believe on him and accept him as my Savior, then I'm going to get into heaven. And that's the promise. He has promised me eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you going to heaven? Are you sure? My friend, if you're not, make sure today. Make sure today. Just where you're sitting now, in the pew, bow your head, and ask the Lord to forgive you for your sin and to save you. Ask the Lord to cleanse you from your iniquity, and ask the Lord to prepare you for heaven. And he'll save you right now. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Now, what about those who are excluded from heaven? I want you to turn to a verse in the Bible. Take a look with me at Revelation chapter 21 for a moment. I want you to take the time to turn. We're almost finished. But here in this text of Scripture, We are told very clearly that if men die in their sin, in other words, if they die rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they end up in a lost eternity. Look what it says here in Revelation 21, verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it." Now, that's speaking about heaven. Enter into heaven. "And there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." In other words, if men die in their sin, die without having their sins forgiven, they will not get into heaven. That's what the verse is teaching. But look what it says. It goes on to say, "But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." They that are written in the Lamb's book of life. My friend, I wonder, is your name written down in the Lamb's book of life? We read in Matthew 18, verse 3, these words, "Except ye be converted, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And the truth is this, and I say this very solemnly, if you don't enter into heaven when you die, then you'll enter into hell when you die. Because not only did the Lord Jesus Christ teach about heaven when he walked upon this earth, but he also taught about hell when he walked upon this earth. And that's another sermon. That's another message. But you take the time when you go home to look up Luke's Gospel chapter 16, and you will read there the Lord Jesus speaking about hell and about a man, a rich man who died without Christ and ended up in hell. And he was lost forever. And the Savior, time and time again throughout his public ministry, warned men, of course, to flee from the wrath which was to come. Jesus said on one occasion, "Fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Oh, I pray today that each and every one here in this service will know Christ as their Savior, that you will be prepared for heaven. Listen, lay not up treasures upon earth. Lay not up treasures upon earth. What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The most precious possession that you have today is your soul. And your soul needs to be saved. Jesus says, lay up treasures in heaven. Make sure that you're ready for heaven. Make sure that you're prepared for heaven. Make sure that when you leave this earth, that you go to the mansions above. Let us all pray.